This week I've been reading Luke 15, and we've been talking a lot about the prodigal son recently in church. Deepak spoke about it, right? He spoke about the other son. That was an amazing word. And I think Beth spoke a little bit about the prodigal son as well. And something caught my attention in the word that has never stood out to me before. Who finds they have moments like that sometimes when something sticks out and you're like, you haven't seen that before. And it's like, wow, God. And I read it's in Luke 15:21. When the son comes back, and that's kind of where the story ends for me, that's embraced by the father, right? That's our freedom. We come to him in our freedom. But there's more. The father not only embraces him, but he puts his coat, grabs his coat from, and puts his coat around his son, puts his ring on his finger, and gives him sandals, new shoes. Those are all prophetic symbols for us as a church. We don't only come into freedom with the Father's embrace, but we get a new robe. We get a new authority. That's our coat. That's our authority. The wraparound presence of God around us. Then we get the ring, which I feel is like our authority to make agreements, right? That seal. It's the seal of the Holy Spirit on us, but also it's a seal to make agreements. And then the sandals. Slaves didn't have shoes back in those days. So giving him sandals meant he was no longer a slave. We're no longer slaves. We are clothed in all of righteousness and goodness in God, right? Amen, amen. So that was just something I wanted to share with you this morning. You're in for a treat. My name is Zoe, for those of you who don't know me yet. And I just love this church. I'm pretty new to the church, but I want to tell you that it's a privilege to be here in a church that values the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the church of Taranaki values the presence of the Holy Spirit. We all do. Friday night we had an amazing event, Women's Worship Night. Over 350 women came out to praise God and in a significant moment in our region. And it's amazing what God is doing. And I just kept on thinking this morning, let's not wait for Pentecost to celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, right? We don't have to wait for certain days. The Holy Spirit is here right now, and he wants to pour a fresh power and anointing on you this morning. And Acts speaks about that when the fire came, it came on each one of them, on everyone. Nobody missed out. Nobody's missing out today. Nobody's missing out today. The Holy Spirit is pouring out on every single one of your lives today. Something new, something fresh that sets you apart. And I hope you're ready to receive them. We don't have to do anything. We just have to be here in his presence and wait for him. Right? So good. So you're in for a treat today. We have some girl power happening. And we're going to be sharing a bit of our journey through a book we've been studying. So do you remember Janine Williams came and spoke to us and gave a prophetic word about book clubs? And so I take those things literally. So I'm like, oh, great, let's have a book club. So off I go. We started a book club. And a few of us have been using the book club as a tool. The book is a tool. It's not about the book. The book is a tool to draw us into conversations and into greater things of God, to open up things that may be going on within us and to bring us closer together. So the book today, did I actually bring it? Oh, yeah, it's over there. It's called The Prophetic Warrior. There it is. Thank you, Beth. Great. This is the book that we're going to be talking through some of our experiences. So I would really encourage you to get a hold of this book and read it. It's challenging, exciting, different, all at the same time, by Emma Stark. And us ladies are going to share a little bit of our journey and some of the things that have impacted our lives over the last 6 months of last year as we read through this book. And like I said, it's just that tool. Now, I don't look like much of a warrior. I've never thought of myself as a warrior. I'm pretty calm and peaceful. You can ask my husband, although he might say different. But, you know, I'm generally kind of calm and peaceful. But does that not mean that you can't be a warrior? We don't have to be loud shouting with swords to actually be a warrior. It's what's in us. It's that spirit that's within us that makes us a warrior. And so I've been learning about that, learning out how what God has put inside me that has made me into a warrior. And so this morning, I feel like God is sending us over here today to speak in a way that's going to start lighting some flames. God says that we need to fan the gifts into flame, right? And so we're going to have some flames today, hopefully, in a good way, in a good way. Like explosions and flames, all in a good way, because God works in power, right? And so I want to start. I've got a lot of things to say, and do you want to see my notes? Just kidding. Just kidding. So I actually thought, because I have so much to say, I've printed out a copy of my slides. So if I don't get to all of them, you can take it home and have a read of it. We'll hand that out pretty soon to you guys and you can have a look through. So we'll just put that first slide up there, Luke. I think my message and the main thing I would love for your hearts to catch today is this. That what God has put in us, what God has put in me will change lives. Each and every one of us. And so we are called, I'll read this to you, we are called to know what it is to speak into people's lives with love and a warrior edge that burns away their pain and fights them into freedom. Prophecy is not about flattery. Sure, prophecy does bless and it will build you up, but prophecy is also an instrument of war. When we're speaking prophetic words to people, when we're speaking life to them, we must know that we're not just flattering them, but that we're actually hitting their heart, we're breaking things off their life, and we're setting them free, right? And every one of us can do this. We're all called to speak God's word. We all have the Holy Spirit within us. Next slide there. Thanks, Luke. We're going to go quickly through this, but I want you to decree this over your life, that what God has put in me will change lives. What God has put in me will change lives. Let's move on. Thank you, Luke. We all know that when we prophesy, so today we're talking about this. What is prophecy? Hearing God and speaking Him out, keeping it simple. We hear Him in different ways, but we speak it out, okay? And so we speak to build, encourage, and edify people, and we bring that to others. Thanks, Luke. Next one. I love this. When God said, It's not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. You know? Right? His word is powerful. It is strong. It is our word through our mouths that are setting people free. Right? And so Emma talks a lot about this strategy called fracking. Please, I hope I say that right. Fracking. And it's something that's done with sending a high pressure, some people might know this, but high pressure into maybe a rock, and it breaks it open to release the treasure that's within that hard place, right? And so sometimes some of us just need a rush of prophetic wind into our lives to break open the places and release the treasure that's within that. And I've seen God do that in my life in the last 2 years. It has been so exciting. So for the boys, I got a little picture, a little video of this. Thank you, Luke, hopefully. Visual. Let's see if this works. Cool. You got that? It was pretty quick, but as that rush of powerful force of water hits that rock, it breaks it open and releases the treasure that's within it. Sometimes if we can imagine, as we speak a word of encouragement to someone, that's what we're doing to their heart. It's breaking open those places and releasing life. One more thing I just want to share, and then we'll move on. If you keep going, Luke, to some more slides. Right, here we go. This is what we could be thinking when we're speaking to somebody and sharing a word with them. And these doesn't have to be big words, just a small word of encouragement. Like, God is with you today, you know. You are a radiant light shining for the kingdom. We speak life like that. I love what Emma teaches us to do. She says, when we speak prophetic words to people, we can think, how free can I get you today? How free can we set people? And how far can I transition you into the purposes of God? Yep. And how can I set a new horizon for your life to aim at? It's pretty exciting. So that's my encouragement for you today from something that's really, really impacted my life from the book. When I think about what we can take, just little old me, Zoe, who doesn't look like a warrior, but actually when I have the Holy Spirit within me, flowing from me, I now can speak life that are words of a fire and words of a hammer breaking open lives. My own life, my family's life, and those around me. Cool. Thank you so much for hearing me and my part of the story. And next up, we have the amazing Bronwyn to come and share with us her journey through the prophetic warrior.
Oh, kia ora, everyone. It's a big book, Zoe. Yes. Well, like Zoe, I have many things I could share with you, but I've had to choose just one thing. And it was something that actually I've known, and it's something we will all have known for many years. But I was just thinking about that song, "The Weight of the World," just kind of dulls it, has dulled it in me. And just this morning, even I just prophesied the joy of the Lord would just lift the weight of the world off you. Yeah. So the thing that I wanted to share with you was she talks in this chapter about the whole concept of us being spirit beings. And she says that first and foremost, we are spiritual beings that live in this external body, not the other way around. And we all know that, don't we? We've all heard it. But for some reason, you know, hearing and actually realizing it are two different things. So our spirit man can kind of hear, relate to the spiritual world where God, who is spirit, is there also. And so we're meant to focus on the spirit realm. It's meant to be our norm, focusing on the things of heaven, the things of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right where they dwell. And Emma says that is to be spiritually normal. Yeah, not abnormal, spiritually normal. And I love that. So that was the first point, that we are spiritual beings. And so she unpacked this amazing kind of thinking around the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. When he sinned, God asked him the question, "Where are you?" And we're kind of left thinking, well, you know, there's something wrong with God. Did he lose the very first man that he created? You know, has he gone missing? And does he have to find him, like hide and seek? But what happens in that story is that when God created Adam, he breathed his higher dimension into mankind, and Adam became a living being with a spiritual dimension, just like us. And Adam could see in the spirit. So it was perfectly normal for Adam and Eve to wander through the garden in the cool of the night, as it's described, and see God, to see God in the spiritual realm. And when the fall came, you know, there was that sin, that revelation of sin and shame. And their physical eyes were open to their nakedness, you know, and they tried to cover and hide it. But at the same time, because of that sin, you know, Adam's eyes grew dim in the spirit realm. And he had trouble seeing God in the spirit realm in all its fullness. And he began to become more aware of his physical being. And that's us today sometimes, isn't it? So God wasn't looking for them in the flesh. He wasn't actually hunting them down, like, "Where are you, Adam? Where are you, Eve?" He was actually looking for them in the spirit realm, and where they were used to hanging out and like being one, being together, and suddenly that wasn't happening. There was like this separation in the spirit realm. And so, you know, that was just, I guess I've read that story many times, but I'd never heard it kind of presented in that way. And it was like revelationary to me. And so the thing is that God still looks for us in that spirit realm. We're called to be worshippers in spirit and in truth, to seek the Father. And I was really, you know, made me think how we can do all the right things, can't we? We can kind of work hard, we can give, we can serve. But if we're not connected to God in that spiritual realm, then we're missing out. We don't. He says that he doesn't really know us if we're not in that realm with him. And how we can take care of our physical bodies, can't we? And you know, we can nourish them and feed them, but often we are less motivated to do that in our spiritual realm. And then we wonder why it's so hard for us to battle on. So the spiritual realm, as Zoe said, is all around us, and we need to fix our eyes on what on it. And God wants to restore and reclaim back our spiritual sight for us that we lost in the garden. When Jesus paid the debt of our sin, we could now walk with God like Adam and Eve did. And so we can be immediately connected to God. she talks about this whole thing about some verses where it talks about God sharing his glory with us. And the Greek word for glory is doxa, which actually is meaning God's thoughts and his ways of thinking, which I thought was pretty cool. It made me think a little bit how Dave loves to say to our children and to anyone that that when we're following God, you know, and we're surrendering and we're opening ourselves to him, and then, you know, God's thoughts become our thoughts. You know, and when our kids, for example, didn't quite know what to do in a certain situation, then he would say, look, you know, God's, when you follow God and you're loving him and you're engaging with him spirit to spirit, then his thoughts become your thoughts, and you can trust that and you can move in a direction. So hopefully that's a helpful thought. So I'll finish off with this quote from Emma, because she words it, you know, she probably spent 10 hours writing this paragraph compared to me. So I will read what she's written and just have a listen to it. Shut your eyes and listen to it, because it's really powerful. She says, when you can apply this truth and have it marinate inside of you, it builds in you the understanding that you have access to God and the ways of heaven. God is on the throne. Jesus is at his right hand, and you sit with them. You don't have to strain very hard to hear the business of heaven. You are not on the outer courts. You are seated at the center with your Father and your Savior. Applying this truth opens you up to understand the spiritual realm. You are not fighting for access. You have access. It enables you to enter the most beautiful places in the dimension of the Spirit. Then you can see God face to face and hear his voice with real clarity. Not when you die, but here now. You just need to believe it. And so she encourages us to make the first conversation of our day to be, what is heaven doing today, God? And I think she also says, oh, I forgot, that's missed off my page actually. Can you remember the other question she asks of us? Yep, what is heaven doing today? And basically, what am I going to do? What are you wanting me to do in my day today? And so that's really changed my thinking. I've tried to make that more of my question. God, what are you wanting to do today in this place, and how can I be part of it? Who's next? Zoe?
Thanks. We have the beautiful Rebecca up next to come and share her amazing time with us. Thank you, Rebecca.
Morena. I'm Rebecca, and I'm quite new here too, so it's been a real privilege for me to be part of this group. It's impacted my life in quite a few ways, so I'm going to share a couple of things, and then I've got a few things just to read from the book as well. So I think we all know that sometimes just life happens, and inside we can just, our passion feels a bit dulled sometimes, or we feel a little bit dead on the inside. So I think this book and going through the whole process of studying with these beautiful ladies has been a whole process of me just coming back to life again a little bit on the inside, and just feeling a bit more alive and passionate about God again, which has been a really awesome thing. This book is also full of challenges, like a lot of challenges, but it's helped to increase and build my faith and hope in God again, and that he can be the solution for all the places where there is need or hurt or dysfunction, and the list goes on, but all of those places in the world. So I've got four parts actually from the book that I wanted to share quickly. These are complete challenges. And then after each section, I've got a few questions that just it made me think about. So you could wonder those things as well when I read out the part. And I'm not by no means an expert at any of this, but it's a process. Right, so the first thing I highlighted in the book is courage, above all things, is the first quality of a warrior. Yeah. I guess I asked myself, well, how courageous am I? And it's like not very. But then I guess that leads to the prayer that God, give me more courage for speaking and doing what I'm hearing and sensing that you're saying, yeah, in everyday life. Yeah. Right, second thing, we are the prophetic voice of God. We are called to be his hands, feet and voice. We are Holy Spirit-filled people carrying strategy for the world. So the questions I asked is, am I bringing some of God's strategy to my world? Am I speaking his strategy into my everyday life, into my family, into my workplace, just the people I see and encounter every single day. Am I hearing what God's saying and actually bringing his strategy and his word into those places? The third thing, we prophesy according to the script that we have inside of us, according to what we think about God. Your prophetic ability will only be as good or victorious as your belief about who you are in him. Yeah, that's quite a big thing to get your head around. So my question for myself was, God, what do I think about you? God, show me what my core beliefs are, like those things right on the inside are about you. And are they even accurate? Are they true? Like, show me that if I'm believing the right things or not. And what do I believe about who I am in God? Because all of those things will actually impact what comes out of my mouth when I'm speaking to people. The last thing I wanted to read to you from the book, it says, God says to us today, I'm calling you back to living on the cutting edge. I'm resurrecting your radicalness. Woohoo. And I'm giving you back your extreme childlike hope. I'm restoring your expectation and faith. We are to start prophesying to things that are dead and call them back to life. We are to start calling things that are not as though they were. We are to start decreeing the things we hear God say, and all heaven will action what we are speaking. Yeah, so they're real challenges. Yeah. Yeah. But it's great because challenge prompts growth, right? Yeah. So yeah, I'm not an expert, but I'm moving in the right direction. Yeah, so my reflections and conclusions just from reading these parts, but also the rest of the book, is actually that my voice matters. My voice is powerful. It carries power. My voice can change the things around me. My voice can shift situations and atmospheres and bring solutions in people's lives. You know, not because of anything special about me in particular, but just because of God and who I am in him. And just to finish, here's a quote. You can't find your voice if you don't use it.
Good. So good. Hey, why don't we respond to that in a moment? I mean, let's just stand, please. And I'm sorry, this is unexpected, but I felt God prompting us. Why don't we just think about the thing that seems dead, seems impossible right now, and why don't we speak to it and call it back to life? Whatever it may be, maybe it's a job that you need. And so we just speak right now. We say that you will have the job that God has for you. What about any situation? I'll just take a moment and speak life to it. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Make that a practice in your life. Turn your dead things into places that will, when you speak the word, it comes back to life. And as Rebecca said, all of heaven is moved as you speak. So good. Well, we have also a special treat. Now, Jenna couldn't be with us this morning, but she made her video in advance. So we're going to watch a video from Jenna.
Testimonies of different things that have happened, and one of them involves her being in a shoe shop and feeling a real prompting from God to, when she goes to the counter, to speak to the specific woman. But there were lots of women at the counter and lots of people lining up as well, so she was like, oh, well, how's this going to happen? Can't orchestrate this. But the line just cleared in front of her and all the other shop staff left, so it was just this one woman left behind. So she was getting her shoes, and she just said to this woman, she felt like she had a word for her, and she just said to this younger woman, I think she was early 20s, hey, look, I sometimes hear the voice of God, and he gives me things to say to people, and I just wanted to let you know that he said that you're a really good mum. And so she didn't overthink it, she just shared that. And then this young girl just starts bawling, and she says, I actually haven't told anybody, not even my partner, but I'm pregnant, and I have an abortion booked for tomorrow. And I was I don't remember if she was praying or if she'd just been thinking that morning, like, God, if you're real, like, can you just show me? Or I just don't know what I'm supposed to be doing here. And because Emma had been faithful to listen to that prompting of God, that simple line of telling her that she was a good mum, that literally saved a person's life. And so the young woman left from serving her and just said, do you mind if I just go? I would just want to cancel that appointment. So she did. She cancelled the appointment and actually had the baby. And because God said it, we can know that she will be a good mum. And that really impacted me, along with everything else, but about how when we are, I just feel like we live such a privileged life, being able to know that we're hearing his voice, and that for the rest of the world, they just, oh, it makes me emotional, but they just have no idea. They just, they don't. And something that can seem so simple to us, or so obvious to us, or just something that we feel God prompting us to say, that could feel like easily we could just disregard it. We have no idea what will happen if we just repeat that and we say out the words over somebody, whether they know him or not. And God's in the business of breaking chains and of setting people free. So our words can really easily do that when we partner with him. So that was what I took from it. I feel really encouraged to, I know I've shared before about, I really struggle with having boldness with people who don't know God, or people who I feel like might not know what I'm talking about. So I feel like that's really prompted me to try and be a bit more bold when I'm hearing him, because we have no idea what he's wanting to do. So I hope that encourages you too. And read the book. It's really, really good.
How cool. Thanks, Jenna. I hope you guys are getting the heart of what we're trying to communicate to you today, that you have something within you that can change lives. And it starts just with simple words, even like that, an encouragement. You never know the impact of what God wants to do. So up next we have the beautiful Coral.
So yes, there was a lot of revelation in this book for me. It's an amazing book, and as Jenna said, you should get the book. Anyway, I've only got 2 minutes, so I better get on with it. Isn't it so wonderful? Isn't it so wonderful that God, the creator of all things, God Almighty, God who is all-knowing, would want to partner with us? He wants to talk to us, and he wants to tell us unknown mysteries from heaven. And he really does talk to us in many different ways. So my understanding of prophecy is hearing what God is saying and then speaking what we have heard him say out into being. And I'm just going to say a few things that Rebecca's already said. Just quotes from Emma. We are to start calling the things that are not as though they were. We are to start prophesying to things that are dead and call them back into life. We are to start decreeing the things that we hear God say, and all heaven will action what we are speaking. As I said, there were many revelations for me in this book, and I'm going to share with you just one I found quite significant for me. In chapter 4, Emma highlights a particular scripture, and Emma does refer to many, many, many scriptures throughout this book. But this scripture is found in Amos 3:7. Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. And I found that scripture to be quite startling. I'll just read it one more time, just so in case you missed it. Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. This scripture really highlighted for me how important it is to slow down and ask God, what is it that he is saying? What do you want to do, and what do you want to tell me? Throughout my life, I've heard God clearly speak to me now and again from time to time on occasion. And very weirdly, and it seems bizarre now, I would never really ask God what he wanted to say. I would just wait for him to tell me. And he would tell me stuff, but how much more could have I heard from him if I were asking and listening, hearing what he wanted to say? And now I know I'm so excited that when he speaks to me, I just have to speak out what he says, what he has said, and then all of heaven will action what I have spoken. That revelation for me has made me want to sit with God and listen and hear what he wants to say. Has made me excited again, but this time excited to partner with him, excited to see heaven actioning what has been spoken.
Thank you. Luke, I think there's a slide for that. If you can just pop that up, it's good to always have that visual to remind us of those words. And start decreeing the things you hear God say, and all of heaven will action what you are speaking. Thank you so much, Coral. How are you guys doing over there? Yeah? So why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, what God has put in you will change lives. It's so good. Next up, we're coming near to the end. We've got Beth coming up to share with us, and then we've got something special after that. So thank you, Beth.
Oh, tēnā koutou katoa. When Zoe asked me if I wanted to be part of the group, and then I felt quite privileged, and then she told me the book, The Prophetic Warrior, and I went, oh, okay. And because that's part of the reason is that, and then I saw the book and there was a sword on it and I went, oh, God, do I really have to? And I had to really think about it. And did I want to go into a group full of incredibly wonderful women who are so passionate about declaring the word of God, because at the time I was struggling with myself. And that quote that Zoe has already shared was from Claude van Clausewitz. He's a military strategist of war. And he said, courage above all things is the first quality of a warrior. It's not some spiritual thing that someone said. It's actually a military strategist who says that. And I thought, courage, yes, I've got to have some courage. So I had some courage, put my big girl undies on, and I went to the group. And then we talked, she talked as we read the book, and Zoe's already mentioned from Jeremiah 23:29, it says, it's not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. And it talked about fracking, and I'm not an advocate of fracking. It's not ecologically wonderful, but Emma probably doesn't know that. She just doesn't live in New Zealand. However, the fracking relation is that it releases, and this is what Emma said, releases forgotten and needed treasures. That's what fracking does in the natural and in the spiritual. And so often we, others, have forgotten and maybe never ever seen what we were created to be or to do. So fracking, the prophetic, provokes our memories and shatters the walls that hinder us. That's what the prophetic is about. It legislates on our behalf when the world speaks against us and our own history shuts us down. And it brought to me as we bear, this is only in about chapter 2-3, but it brought back to me a revelation I'd had about the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And this is what God did for me through this book club, because these two disciples were so discouraged. They had believed that Jesus would save them, would save the world, would save Jerusalem. But Jesus was crucified, he's dead, and he's buried. And even though Jesus had said all sorts of things, their sadness that he had not delivered them the way they thought that he should deliver them. They were so discouraged. And these two particular disciples couldn't even stay in the upper room. They left. They couldn't even wait as they were commanded to wait by Jesus. And so they walked on the road to Emmaus, and they could not see the purposes of God and the hope that was taught to them. And they left where they had been, the uncomfortable place of waiting, the upper room, and headed to Emmaus. And Emmaus means comfort. They headed towards comfort, something that would comfort them, which took them actually out of the purpose of God. And Jesus walked alongside them. Isn't that beautiful? And he brought the word. And they said in Luke 24, didn't his word burn within us? You know, because that's what the word of Jesus does. It provokes, it fracks those walls around us and releases us back in. So Acts 2 talks about one of the measures of the New Testament covenant. One of the measures of the salvation of Jesus is that the sons and daughters will prophesy. Now, we're not all called to be prophets because that's a calling. We're not necessarily anointed with a prophetic anointing all the time, but this is the measure of a New Testament, is that the sons and daughters will prophesy. All can prophesy. And I had put down my sword and had not really wanted to embrace a part of who I actually am. And Emma said, there's a time to realize there is more in us and in those that you will minister to than is currently revealed. The earth must respond tangibly, measurably, changing when we speak the word. We have words that set captives free, words that liberate and fight on someone's behalf. And had to walk through and find my way back to the upper room with this book and with this beautiful group of women. And prophecy is an instrument of heavenly warfare. And God had to remind me that my birthright is Irish, Scottish, Norwegian, Dane, that I am a warrior naturally and spiritually, and I needed to take up my sword again. Emma said, prophecy will bless you, it will build you up in its delivery, but it is an instrument of war.
So, so good. And we are the army. We are the Church of Christ, carrying his word in power as we speak, right? So, so good. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you as we've come into this place. We just bring an offering to you, Lord, of our stories, our life revelation moments, Father. And Father, we ask that you would use it to plant seeds, to set fires, to awaken those in this place today. God, even right now, would you just fall in power? Just remind us of who we are in you, Lord. Give us the strength to be your hands and feet, to speak courageously for you and your kingdom, Lord. We bless your name. Amen. 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 And so just as we end off today, we're going to have a bit of fun of practicing, which is always a good way, because you know what? It's actually a lot easier than you think. And so Jenna and I, we run a mentoring group called The Table, and we love to do activations. It's just something to get us going, to get the heart of God speaking, and to use what's already in us to speak life, okay, and to prophesy. So I'm going to call Bronwyn and Rebecca up, just gave them a little heads up so they can help me. Are you guys ready? So we're going to model this to you first. So what I would like is if you all just close your eyes for a moment, and I'm going to ask you to imagine something. Our minds are sanctified by Christ. So I just want you to imagine, if you can just close your eyes and imagine an amazing feast table in front of you. And then I want you to think about and imagine yourself coming to this feast table. And I want you to look at what you've got in your hand. What are you bringing to this table? Doesn't need to be food. It doesn't need to be anything in particular. Have a look what's in your hand and what you're bringing. And just go with the first thought you think about. Don't get too complicated. And hold that. And when you're ready, you can open up your eyes. Great. So if you can just keep that in your mind, because we're going to use that as we go into our little practice time. So for me, when I went to the table, I brought a wooden bowl with water in it. And so I'm going to allow these lovely ladies to have a go at speaking a word of encouragement to me around my bowl of water.
Thanks, Zoe. So my first thought when you talked about the wooden bowl was that a wooden bowl doesn't just appear. It's formed from something, which is a tree. And I just think God's wanting to encourage you that that even if you've just spent time growing, feeling maybe that you're just waiting for something, that that he just wants to encourage you that he's got the ability to fashion you into something. A wooden bowl that is useful and refreshing, holds something incredibly refreshing from him for other people. So be blessed.
Yep. I receive that. Thank you very much.
When I heard you say that, I thought of the water and its purity and how we use water also for like washing and cleansing. So as you pursue God and as you seek after him first, he'll bring a purity and a cleansing within you and just deal with things that as they come up, as you deal with them with him.
I'm receiving that. Amen. And, you know, even for myself, because I didn't know what I would be bringing. So for me, I can even prophesy to myself. I know that water brings life. And Zoe, my name means life. So I bring life when I come into spaces. So I'm prophesying that over myself. So what you saw might have surprised you as well. So I'm going to ask that you're going to be courageous today. And we're going to fan into flame some gifts. And if you can get in groups of about four or five and share the thing. First of all, just share the thing you brought to the table. And then start allowing yourselves to speak life into those in your group. Do you think we can do that? Awesome. Let's go. And just a reminder that the encouragement can be short and sharp. You know, that's all it needs to be, just quickly.